my and Andrea's lives were turned completely upside down when we were only 24 years old. At the time, we were living in Louisville, Kentucky, and Andrea was working in sales and management, graciously paying my way through seminary. And we thought, you know, after seminary, we'd either maybe move back to California, where I could be an associate pastor, or maybe we'd move on to another university so I could earn a PhD and pursue academia. And then the Lord turned our lives completely upside down. Andrea's pastor from Penn State, who I knew really well, called us and asked us to consider coming back to Penn State and then being sent out by his church to start a new church here in Philadelphia, which is called Church Planting. That was not at all in the cards for us, but we started to pray and fast and seek the Lord, and we decided to make a U-turn. We finished up seminary really quickly, moved back to Penn State for a year of training, and then in the summer of 2011, we landed here in Philadelphia with our partners in ministry, Pete and Jackie Horning. And we started a little Bible study in our apartment in Roxborough with about a dozen of our closest sort of committed friends. And by God's grace, it grew into one church, gathering in three different congregations with hundreds of covenant members and hundreds more attenders. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020. And all of us, nearly down to the person, experienced what can only be described as a year and a half of unprecedented isolation from one another. Now, fast forward to earlier this summer. Myself and the other elders of City Light Church were away at a retreat, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord for a particular focus for this coming ministry year of City Light Church. And for us here, our ministry year runs from July to June, so we're at the beginning of it right now. And as we were praying and seeking the Lord, one word kept coming to mind. It's the word family. After a year or more of unprecedented isolation, we sense that the Lord was calling us, leading us into a year of unprecedented family, a year of enjoying unprecedented fellowship with one another, because the church, after all, according to the New Testament, is God's family. We want this to be a year of unprecedented family. Now, I know that the word family can be a little vague, so some of you might be wondering, oh, wait, is this finally the year where they're going to really work hard at, like, marrying off all of us single folks and getting all of us married folks to have children? It's like, I mean, by all means, but that's not what we mean by this. Rather, for us, when we're talking about family, we have three R's in mind: relationships, roots, and reach. We believe that family, first and foremost, means that this year, we're prayerfully seeking the Lord for a year of richer relationships with one another in Christ than maybe we've ever enjoyed before. Also, when we're thinking about family, we're thinking about roots. We're praying that this will be a year where we set our roots down deeper, both into God's word and to this geographic area, than we ever have before, so that we can be the people of Jesus, specifically here, over the long haul. And then also for us, family means reach, because God's family in Christ is one that anyone can get in on by the grace that's found in Jesus. And so we want to be the kind of family that welcomes our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and our classmates to join by the grace that's found in Jesus. We're praying that this is a year of unprecedented family. Now, I imagine that maybe a few of you are like, listen, man, like, this is my first time here. I'm not even a follower of Jesus. I was kind of hoping that maybe you'd say something that was relevant about my life, and now you're talking about, like, the family you want your church to be. I get that. The simple thing I want to say to you is this: we are a family where you can explore before you believe. We are a family where you can join in with us and explore with us in a spirit of non-accusing sympathy, so that you too can see the difference that Jesus really makes. There's a place for you here. And so over the next month, leading up till September, where we're going to start a longer journey through the Gospel of John, over the next month, each Sunday, we're going to look at the biblical theme of the church as God's family from different angles. And as we explore the church as God's family in the scriptures, we're also going to unpack what a year of unprecedented family is going to very practically look like for all of us. And today, we're going to start at the foundation. We're going to start at the foundation, the very first big idea of our journey into the church as God's family is this. God's family has members. God's family has members. Ephesians 2, verse 19, which I read a moment ago, says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens." Isn't that wonderful? "But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Okay, now I realize that Ephesians 2:19 is in part talking about the universal family of God, the universal church, which is those who have been saved by Jesus in all places and in all times. But it's important to remember that you can never separate the universal church from the local church. In fact, membership in a local church is a testimony to our membership in the universal church. And this makes sense if you think about membership in something else, like, say, like a gym. Okay, how many of you have a gym membership? Okay, now I know some of you are like, "I'm not raising my hand, I'm a member of a box." Okay, CrossFit, like, take it easy, we get it. That's a gym too, cool, awesome. What you do is harder than what we do, we love it. Now, imagine that you have one of those memberships, say at like Planet Fitness, like the gold standard, where you can go to any Planet Fitness there is. Would you ever say, "Well, you know, I don't go to the local Planet Fitness because, you know, I'm kind of a member of all the Planet Fitnesses"? No, that would be crazy. In the same way, not joining a local Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, disciple-making church because you're part of the universal church is about as silly as saying, "Well, I don't go to the local gym because, you know, I'm part of the universal gym." The two are integrally connected. God's family has members. So to get to the heart of church membership, we're going to explore two questions this morning with Ephesians 2, 18 and 19 as our guide. We'll start with actually verse 19 and pull then back to verse 18. So here are the two questions we're going to explore. First, why join a local church? Second, what are the benefits of joining a local church? So let's begin with the first question. Why join a local church? Now, as followers of Jesus who believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God, of course, the primary answer to that question is, well, because God, in his written word, invites all members of the universal church, all followers of Jesus, to join a local church. The primary reason why to join a local church is because church membership is biblical. Now, I think the best way to see that the Bible teaches church membership is not to look for like one verse that says, "Thou shalt join a local church in covenant membership." I don't think that's the best way to go. Rather, I think the best way to see that the Bible teaches church membership is to back up and ask a prior question, which is, what is a church? It's actually not that easy of a question to answer. I mean, the church isn't really a place. It's not a building. It's not a weekly meeting. It's not even a group of Christians that happen to like Jesus and one another. What's a church? Ephesians 2:19 helps us inch toward a definition. It says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints." If you've got your own Bible, maybe circle that word "citizens," because it is massively important for understanding what a church is and why we should join one. Citizens. See, citizenship, that language implies, if I were to use sort of old-fashioned terms, a kingdom and a king. And the Bible says that Jesus is the king above all kings. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that when we believe into Jesus, we actually have a change in our citizenship. We have a citizenship transfer out of the kingdom of darkness that is characterized by rebellion against God, and into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus, by grace. When we believe into King Jesus, we have a citizenship transfer into Jesus's kingdom. But our King Jesus is no longer on earth. He's resurrected. Jesus, his rule and reign and his kingdom are in heaven. Jesus the King and his kingdom are in heaven, which makes then all the sense in the world of why in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says that all of us who are followers of Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. So Jesus' followers are resident aliens here on earth. We have had a shift in our citizenship. We are citizens of heaven, and we are resident aliens here on earth because our king and his country are heavenly. Okay. So this brings us back to the local church. Let's tease this out a little bit. If Jesus is king, and he is, and if every follower of King Jesus is a citizen of Jesus' heavenly kingdom, and we are, then what is a local church here on earth? Well, every local church here on earth, then, is, as pastor and scholar Jonathan Lehman says, an embassy of Jesus' heavenly kingdom here on earth. The church, every local church, is an embassy of heaven. Maybe if you've traveled abroad, you know a little bit about what an embassy is. But a dictionary definition: an American embassy is the headquarters for U.S. government representatives serving and seeking the interests of the U.S. in a foreign country. Now, if you've ever traveled abroad, you know that an embassy doesn't make someone an American citizen. Rather, an embassy officially affirms, oversees, protects, and gives shape to your life as an American citizen while you're abroad. That's exactly what a local church is. A local church is an embassy of heaven. Local church doesn't make you a citizen of heaven. That happens by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. But the local church is an embassy of heaven here and now that helps oversee and affirm and give shape to and encourage our citizenship in heaven while we're resident aliens here on earth. The church is an embassy. And so, of course, we don't find in the New Testament verses that teach you join a church like you join a soccer club. No, instead, what we see is that the church is an embassy that we formally bring our lives under through church membership. Jonathan Lehman makes the connection in his little book, Church Membership, between what the church is and why we would join one. He says, a local church is a group of Christians who regularly gather in Christ's name to officially affirm and oversee one another's membership in Jesus Christ and his kingdom through gospel preaching and gospel ordinances. Church membership is a formal relationship between a church and a Christian characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. The church is an embassy of heaven, and so we formally join it. Now, there are other reasons to believe that church membership is biblical. I'll give you a few of them besides the whole embassy thing. One is the New Testament teaching on church discipline requires something like church membership. Church discipline is when one of us begins to live in ongoing, serious, and unrepentant sin. And the Bible says that in such cases, other followers of Jesus should come around that person and lovingly help them come to follow Jesus again. But if they refuse, Jesus tells us in Matthew 18 that we're to treat them like they're not yet followers of Jesus. That is, remove them from the visible membership of the church and bar them from partaking in communion. Now, the whole idea of removing someone from the church requires that they joined it at some point. In 1 Corinthians 5, when the Apostle Paul says to expel an immoral man from the church, it carries the connotation that there's some sort of formal way of knowing who's in and who's out, who's joined and who is not. So church discipline requires something like visible church membership. A second reason to believe that church membership is biblical is what the New Testament says about Christian leadership and Christian followership. Let me show you guys a wild verse. Hebrews 13, 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." I mean, that's a verse to freak out all of us, right? Like, if you're like, you're a Christian, you're like, wait, I have to submit to and obey leaders? And if you're a leader, you're like, I'm going to give an account for someone's soul? So this verse is enough to terrify all of us. But here's a question that I think, or some questions that I think a verse like this raises. Does a verse like this mean that you as a Christian are morally obligated to obey and submit to every Christian leader in Philadelphia? Does a verse like this teach that myself and the other elders of City Light Church will give an account for the souls of every Christian in Philadelphia? Or every Christian who happens to attend our services? Can you imagine how wild it would be if you were morally obligated to submit to every Christian leader in this city? So how do you know who to submit to? How do we know whose soul we will give an account for and have to care for? Well, it's by coming into a formal relationship with one another, which is reflected in church membership. Christian leadership and Christian followership require some kind of formal understanding of who the shepherds are, who the sheep are. And then third and final reason, along with the embassy stuff, to believe that church membership is in the Bible is because of the metaphors used for the church in the New Testament. You know, metaphors like family and flock and body. They all carry the connotation of a formal relationship among the members. So, for example, I have an arm. My arm has a formal relationship with my shoulder that it doesn't have to your shoulder. That's the body metaphor. Think about the family metaphor. I have a covenantal relationship with my children that I don't have with your kids as much as I love them. Family carries this connotation of some kind of formal covenantal relationship. And then if you think about a flock, I know we're in the city and many of us are sort of indoorsy, but I think we all know that a shepherd knows whose sheep, which sheep are theirs, and which belong to another shepherd. See, all these metaphors, they carry the connotation of a formal covenantal commitment among the members of a local expression of God's family known as the church. So why join a local church? Because it's biblical. Now, I want us to begin to take this truth personally. Okay, so we've been up here. Let's bring it down into our hearts. I want to first speak to those of you who, if you're honest, you're not yet followers of Jesus. You maybe are brand new to church, or maybe for some of you, you're like, I've been around the church my entire life, but I've never really embraced Jesus as my only hope in life and in death. I don't really follow him. So I want to speak to those of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus. And I want to invite you today to experience a transfer of your citizenship. I want to invite you today to experience a citizenship transfer. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you the bad news first. All of us, by nature, are born into what the Bible calls this kingdom of darkness. And because of our sins, because of all of our disobeying and ignoring God and the world he created, we deserve to experience the judgment of this darkness forever. Now, let me tell you the good news. God in his grace sent his son to live, die, and rise for your sins so that anyone, anywhere, no matter what you've done, can receive a kingdom citizenship transfer by grace and grace alone through faith in Jesus. And so my invitation to you today is, will you embrace Jesus as your King and Savior? And by the grace that's in him, experience a transfer of citizenship from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Now, if you're like, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. I think I'd like to do that, but I have no idea how. On the front bottom of your Connect card, there is even a sample prayer there that can help give you language for embracing Jesus as your only hope in life and in death. Now, I have to say all the time with that prayer, praying a prayer doesn't save you, only Jesus saves. That prayer is just there to help provide you with language for embracing Jesus as King. Now, for a moment, I want to speak to those of you who, you are followers of Jesus, but you've yet to formally join an embassy of heaven known as the church as a covenant member. And my simple encouragement to you is, on the basis of what we've seen in God's word so far, will you take the next step toward becoming a member of City Light Church? Now, look, you guys, I'll just be totally frank with you. I am convinced that church membership is biblical, but I'm equally as convinced that church membership and how one becomes a member of a church does not need to look the same way at all churches in all places. Okay, so for example, I think that church membership can be a little bit less formal in the process of becoming a member, less formal in a church that is very small, maybe in a highly non-transient place where people have known each other for quite some time. But as you know, that's not City Light. Okay, we live in an incredibly transient northeastern city. We are quite a bit larger than the average church size in the country, and many of us have not known each other very long. And so becoming a covenant member of City Light is a little bit more on the formal side. So we have a class, and I want to invite you to be part of it. It's next Sunday. After this service, the last few hours, lunch and childcare will be provided. I would love the privilege of getting to spend those few hours with you, walking you through what City Light Church believes, what it looks like to be part of this family, and to begin the process of welcoming you into that. Would you let us know, even on your Connect card, that that's something you'd like to do? That way we can plan for enough lunch for you. Okay. Now, in my opinion, we've settled the question. Church membership or something like it that creates a visible church is biblical. Okay, church membership is the way that we officially affirm and oversee and nurture and encourage one another's membership in Jesus and his kingdom in local embassies of heaven known as the church. But if we end there, we can't end there. We can't end there. Because if we end there, that would be sort of like if I was talking to you about marriage. And I was like, okay, you guys, here's what marriage is. It's a covenant. And then I just stopped. Now that's true, right? Marriage is a covenant. You know, you enter into it through vows and the pronouncement of the minister. It's a lifelong covenant. But if I ended there, what would I be missing? We'd totally miss talking about what marriage is like. Yes, marriage is a covenant, but if we end there, then we don't get to talk about the wonder and the glory of what marriage is and what it's like. One mortal life, fully shared between one man and one woman. No hiding, no aloofness, no boundaries, one in every way. One bed, one bank account, one faith, one future, one friendship for one whole mortal life long, with all of its glories and all of its pains. In the same way, if we end here talking about church membership, we miss out on talking about all the glorious benefits of belonging to the church. So let's briefly consider a second question. What are the benefits of joining a local church? Ephesians 2:19 is going to help us push beyond why join a local church with its citizenship metaphor to the benefits of joining a local church with its family metaphor. Let's look again at Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household or the family of God. The local church is God's family. And this family metaphor leads us into at least six glorious benefits of church membership. Let me unpack them quickly. First benefit. of joining a church. Church membership assures us of our identity. So the first benefit that arises from the church as family is that church membership assures us of our identity. One of the most beautiful parts of being part of a family is that in a family, you have a shared identity with one another. You know, at various times throughout their childhood, each of our children have, in response to me telling them, I love you, and I do say it a lot. It's like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And both of them at different times have said to me, why do you love me? It's actually a great question. It's obviously not because of your behavior. You know, why do you love me? Well, it's not because you're such a significant contributor around here. Although my son, I think at times does rival my contributions. But it's like, why do you love me? Well, the honest answer is because we're family. We have a shared identity. Loved is who you are. I love you because you're our children. In the same way, when we join a local church as members of the family, what we're saying to one another is, I recognize you. I see your identity. You belong to God through faith in Jesus, and I can see it coming out in your life. And as we live together as family, we mutually reinforce one another's identity, and we desperately need that. We live in a world that is full of identity amnesia. And so we walk in on Sunday morning feeling like who I am is what I wear, what I earn, what I accomplish, and who likes me. But when you join the church as family, you get the glorious benefit of mutually reinforcing identity in Jesus. Second benefit arising from the metaphor of the church as family is church membership provides the right environment for intimate relationships. Provides the right environment for intimate relationships. Most nights at dinner, Andrea and I and Soren and Sage play the high-low game. This is where you each share like a high point from your day and a low point from your day. Parents with young children, if you ask your kids yes, no questions, they will respond with only yes or only no. So the high-low game's great because you can't say yes, you can't say no. You actually have to say a little bit about your day. And at various times, one of us will probably share something that frankly we wouldn't share if just anyone was at the table. It's a little too personal. But in our family, because of our commitment of love, because of our shared identity, we have just the right environment for intimate, vulnerable relationships to grow. And in the same way, in the bonds of church membership, with its formal accountability, with its shared doctrine, with its unity in the gospel, we have just the right, the safe environment for intimate relationships to grow. Loosely connected attenders, that's not the right environment for rich relationships. Church membership provides that benefit. Third, and boy, I really got to move now. Church membership helps give your life focus and specificity. Helps give your life, your Christian life, focus and specificity. Like, in every good family, for example, the members of the family serve one another. Okay, me and the kids at my family are trying to grow in this. It's like, kids and me, if you see towels on the floor that are wet, don't just pass them by. Pick them up. Serve the other people. Put them in the hamper. If you see that the table needs to be cleared, what an opportunity. Serve the person who left their dish there. You know, that we're trying to get there a little bit. My wife fully there. The rest of us moving our way along. In the same way, the Bible says that all Christians should serve one another. Here's the problem. There's like a billion Christians on the planet. Who are you supposed to serve? Church membership helps give texture and specificity to your Christian life. Of course, fellow church members aren't the only people you serve, but they are the primary priority because they're family. Church membership helps rescue you from the vagaries of family and puts you into a real life one where we serve and are served by one another. Fourth benefit of the church as family, church membership protects us from us. Maybe one of the greatest benefits that I receive being part of my family is that my wife, Andrea, regularly rescues me from my own crazy. It's one of the greatest benefits I get. I'm still trying to figure out what benefits she gets out of this whole thing, but hey, it's marriage, a deal's a deal. So she's constantly rescuing me from myself. Friends, we all need that. Because of the doctrine of indwelling sin, you are your own greatest spiritual danger. And you desperately need church membership with its official accountability and its loving encouragement to help protect you from you, to pull you back to following Jesus when you go off in your own crazy. Fifth benefit of the metaphor of family into church membership. Church membership invites isolated Christians into family. When we live together, not as loosely related attenders, but formal members of the same family with unity and accountability, commitment and love, it actually provides a beautiful invitation, an attractive invitation to Christians who might be living in a little bit more isolation to come on out of that and enjoy the church's family. And then finally, arising from the family metaphor, church membership gives our world a preview of coming kingdom attractions. Sometimes my Christian life, have you ever had that question like, what's heaven gonna be like? It's a great question. I don't have all the answers to that. But here's what I do know from reading the book of Revelation. Heaven is going to be family. See, when we gather together as God's people, people with so little naturally in common, different ages, different races, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different views on COVID, some Republicans, some Democrats, some who hate everybody, whatever. And we come together, unified by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and live with one another as family, we give the world around us that we love so much a preview of coming kingdom attractions. Yes, it's a grainy and imperfect picture, but it is a real life preview of coming kingdom attractions that anyone can get in on by grace. And loosely affiliated attenders who could be part of family today, gone tomorrow, doesn't give that picture. Friends, there is nothing like the church family. And so I've spoken to those of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus. I've spoken to those of you who are, but you've yet to join a local embassy of heaven. I want to speak now finally to those of you who are already members of City Light Church. And I just want to ask you a personal question to consider. This is a question. It's not an accusation. I love you. So it's a question. Are you enjoying the full benefits of family? Let me ask it another way. Are there any adjustments you might need to make to your life, your priorities, your schedule? Now again, receive this graciously. I know that many of you don't have complete control over your schedule. You're like, bro, I have a boss. I get it. But are there any adjustments you might need to make in your priorities, your lifestyle, your commitments, your time, so that you can enjoy all these benefits of being part of God's family known as the church? I told you we would work backward. So let's conclude with Ephesians 2:18, now that we've looked at 19. 2:18, it says, "For through him," that him is Jesus, "for through him, his perfect life, his substitutionary death in our place for our sins on the cross, his victorious resurrection, for through him, we both," in context, "we both" is referring to Jews and Gentiles. You can apply it to your life this way. People who naturally have nothing in common with each other, or very, very little. "For through him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work, "we both," Jew, Gentile, people from diverse backgrounds, "have access in one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, to the Father, that's God the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Do you see how significant the church is? If you'll suffer me putting it this way, according to Ephesians 2:18, the entire Trinity is conspiring to make you family. The Father predestined it. The Son accomplished it. The Spirit applies it. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, anyone, anywhere can be forgiven of all their sins and have a kingdom citizenship transfer. And now God is your Father, and we are brothers and sisters with one another, showing off to the world the difference that Jesus really makes so that anyone can get in on it by grace. How significant is the church? Jesus died to make us family. And so friends, for goodness sake, let's start enjoying it.